Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Top Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot.
Honey roasted Peter Pan peanut butter.
And Johnson.
Scoot looks like he's refereeing today's show.
He does look like he has like a referee's jersey on today. So you gotta whistle.
By the way, that is the best peanut butter, Scoot. So that is apt of you to call it out because it is top notch.
Just trying to see your reaction. Your eyes lit up when I said it.
I mean,
Johnson goes to a special place in his heart when I mention peanut butter and honey roasted Peter Pan peanut butter.
He's a peanut butter fiend.
It's like a go-to snack.
So, folks at Peter Pan, if you're looking for some promotional stuff,
come
we're
on.
Your show.
We are.
We're your show.
We got you covered.
We got peanut butter eaters like crazy. Yeah. Johnson, he loves it.
Come on.
Oh, guys, it's been a week. It's been a week, hasn't it, to talk about WVU
you
stuff.
You could say that, yes.
So I think by now, everybody probably knows about the Kerry Martin Jr. and Vic Koenig sort of dust up on social media.
If you follow WVU Twitter.
Yeah. If you follow anything WVU, if
right.
you even, you know, you read right. the newspaper, it was in that. You know, so we won't, I don't think we need to go into the details of what was said by Kerry Martin Jr. And or the reply that Coach Vic had, which was not really a denying anything that any of the claims that Kerry Martin Jr. made. You know, from there, we've gotten very little from the university about it. Coach Brown brought it up in his press conference last week, but basically just to say that he couldn't talk about it.
Right.
It was a very upsetting day. And that.
Well, and then he was going to let the university's process run its course, and he thought it would be quick, but he really couldn't offer up anything else.
From a football perspective, the timing of this is actually probably as good as it could be, really, if you think about it. You're kind of in the off season. We've got some voluntary workouts, so it's not like, and we're in the middle of a pandemic, so it's not like we've got the typical press coverage of a spring practice or, you know, or even a fall camp. So you're kind of in this lull period, and it's not like day in, day out, we've got media asking, where's Vic? Is he coming back? Has he been let go? You know, so that.
You mean from a just letting it run its course and not having so much noise?
Right. It's not that it's not important. It is important, but it's not taking off like it probably would had this been August 21st. Or
right, if it was, I get it, right before the season. Or
yeah,
whatever.
I think I see what
right
you're saying. Yeah.
I see what you're saying. I do think that, one is there's never a good time. You never want this to come out about somebody in your program. But if, you know, it is a good time to be talking about this exact, you know, scenario in the world, especially in the sports world, where you have a lot of, you know, African-American black players that have to deal with coaches inside and out. And I think here's where I'm going to say, guys, I think there are a few things about it that were sort of eye-opening and upsetting. I think that when you look at people that are racist and have, and I don't want to get political. We're not, you know, it's not that and I'm not afraid to get political. I think there are two kinds of racists out there. In some ways, and neither of them are good, but there's two kinds. You have people that are intentionally racist. You have people that are out there to say things, to hate, to you know, cause problems.
Sure.
And I think you also have, and I think this is more where Coach Vic falls. I think you have people that are racist because they're unintelligent. It's dumb racism. It's they don't understand what they're saying. And I don't think that's an excuse. I don't think what Coach Vic was trying to say or what he was saying or what he has said in the past is necessarily trying to hurt anybody. But I think it's him just him speaking a feeling that he doesn't understand the ramifications.
Yeah. You mean just being ignorant of the results that come from
and ignorant of how the things that you say, the words that come out of your mouth, how they affect people, you know?
Yeah, okay.
And I think Kerry Martin, you know, put it in a great way. And I think if you could say anything about him, that he did a phenomenal job of putting it out there. Now, I don't know the background story. Did he go to people first before he put it out on social media? Was there a conversation with coaches or other people on the staff before he went to social media? I don't know. And in some ways, I don't care, because if it needed to be heard and it needed to get out there, maybe this is the way to get it out there. And this is the only way to help clean up and make those things better in the future. But I think exactly, like, I think Coach Vic didn't have the understanding of what he was saying and how it was affecting people. And you have to learn that stuff, especially when you're a 50-odd-year-old or 60-odd-year-old coach, and you're there with, I mean, the vast majority of your team, let's be honest, the vast majority of the people in your, you know, in your coach's room are Black, and you're there and you're not communicating with them, and you're not standing up with them, and you're not, you know, on their side in some ways. I think it's a problem. I think that, you know, I'm just at a point now, and I understand the university is doing their thing, but I don't know where I fall on, you know, should Coach Vic come back? Is this a fireable offense?
So there's a couple of factors I think at play. For me, this is how I kind of see it. One is, of course, some of it is a generational difference, right? In that Coach Vic is probably, early 50s? So he's going
to
be, you know,
if I had
easily,
to guess, yeah, I don't know. But
yeah, he's easily, you know, old enough to be his player's parent. You know,
yeah, sure. Yep.
And so he was born and raised in a different generation. Not to that is a pass, because it's not. However, I think that there is obviously some differences in communication, the way a 54-year-old would have a conversation as opposed to a 21 or 20-year-old. And, you know, I can tell you, having coached high school kids, it's changed exponentially in the last 10 to 15 years with social media. I mean, social media didn't really, I mean, did it exist? AOL Instant Messenger? I mean, is that social media? I don't know.
When we were that age, it definitely, yeah, right.
Like,
there was
no
social media.
So, you know, there wasn't going to a Facebook or a Twitter. You didn't have those outlets. Now, maybe you would tell your friends and then they would say something and word would get around, but it wasn't like, I can tell you, you know, I think Nike Air Force Ones are the dumbest looking shoes out there, and put it on Twitter. And now not only did you see that because you're my friend, but anyone else that happens to be just going across something sees it. You know, maybe a friend of a friend likes it. And so word gets out real fast. So that's a big difference. And what it's done is it's made our world smaller, because we can communicate with people all over the place. But it's also maybe brought to light a lot of things that maybe you didn't realize were offensive, or you never thought, you know what, I never really thought about that. I just happened to spout it off. Well, now I spouted it off to you guys, but it happened to get sent to everybody. And I think football, going back to the football part of this, one of the toughest things, like I said, I don't know if there was a better or worse time for this to come out, but as far as Coach Vic Koenig's job is concerned, he's made it tougher on himself, unintentionally tougher on himself, to recruit.
Well, and I think what was very telling about the whole situation, Johnson, too, was the fact that when Kerry Martin Jr. put that tweet out, and I won't mention names, but there were a vast majority of defensive players, leaders, you know, guys who are captains and leaders and on that team, who retweeted it, who liked it, and that didn't go unnoticed on the media side of things, and especially from our end. And I think that's very telling, because I think if he was standing out there alone, if Kerry Martin Jr. was standing out there alone and had said things that weren't necessarily true, or he had, you know, maybe embellished things a little bit, I think that you wouldn't have seen that reaction. But I think the fact that you saw a lot of defensive players have that reaction to it and like it and retweet it, that made, you know, that made me feel like this is much bigger than just one guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. And that was kind of something that we had paid attention here during this week. You know, obviously So first of all, if you're now saying, well, why are you guys talking about this today? Well, we usually record on Mondays, and then of course all important things happen on Tuesdays. So we've had a week to follow it. But I agree, Guido. Even if you like or don't like that he went to Twitter with it, well, guess what? Once it's out there, people either had a chance to step away from it and go arm's reach, or they could file in and get behind him. And I think largely KJ found people supporting his message. Other players Absolutely. On the team, like you said, retweeting, liking, sending him messages of support. So I think just to step back a minute from my perspective, I thought, even before we got into the content, when Scoot brought this up the other day and kind of brought it to my attention, I hadn't seen it yet. But when I clicked on it and you're starting to realize what KJ is putting out there, my first thought, I'm not going to lie, was I hate it if it is a situation where KJ feels like he has exhausted all his options and he now just has to go to Twitter with it, And so I hate that for him. And it made me wonder, like, well, what else is going on that people aren't talking about? But I think since then I've kind of just relaxed, and we'll have to see what that process, the university's process, comes out. And, we'll probably learn about that. But to me, that was one of my first thoughts, was that that really sucks for KJ if he feels like he's exhausted his options and he's like, well, now I'm going to Twitter with it. That was my first reaction. I think secondly, if you take any of these, there's like two or three themes in KJ's message. If you pull each one of them out individually, I think people spent the week on Twitter poking holes at it, like, well, these kids are soft. Well, that's not that bad. Well, that was a Tuesday for me in high school when I played sports. But I think when you bring them all together and you think about them in the totality, then I tend to agree with you, Guido, in your opinion on, then you start to build a picture of a person that is not accommodating. They're not sensitive to, they're not looking out for the viewpoint of the people that they're with in the room.
Not aware of their environment.
Yeah.
And they're not building. And by acting that way around, if it's young black men or young white men or whatever, young Hispanic men, whatever's in that room, by acting that way around those players, you're not building those men for the future to be the leaders, to be the men that you want them to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the problem is too with it, is that, not only are what you say and affecting the black players in the room, but are you making the white guys in the room say, hey, I could say that stuff if I want to say that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. That's where I was going to. So the, not only speaking directly to, the white, black, Asian, Hispanic, the racial mix of it, just if, he's speaking consistently day in, day out to a room full of young people that are trying to be, they're trying to look at where we're at right now and be hopeful for the future. And I'd say right now, coaches take on father figures in a room like that. They want to be able to trust and learn from and grow with. And when they see that kind of behavior, you can see why KJ and others like him probably got to a point where they were like, this isn't what I'm trying to do for the future. This doesn't feel like growth. This doesn't feel like where I want to go.
And a lot of people, I think, feel that, and maybe I'm wrong, but a lot of people feel that, these younger guys, these college age guys, are getting on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and spouting off stuff that, like you said, back in the day might not have been as big a deal to them or whatever. But the way I look at it, Kerry Martin Jr. played in every game this past season, recorded right. tackles in every game that he played in this past season. He started most of the games. So for him, coming out and saying this stuff, he's kind of running the risk of, I don't want to say he's running the risk of losing his scholarship, but he's definitely running the risk of his perception being different now amongst his fellow players, his coaches. So what I'm getting at is, it's not like he has a lot to gain per se, personally, from coming out and calling out his coaches or one of his coaches on something that they said that was inappropriate or maybe nearsighted. So it's, for people to come out and say that maybe he's out there for some sort of gain, there's no gain. I mean, what is the gain he's going to get from this? He's, potentially alienating himself if other people don't feel that way.
Right. I think for him it was a huge risk. It's a huge risk with how he stands with not only the coaching staff and the university, but the fans and the people of West Virginia. It's a brave thing to do. It's a brave thing that he did, you know, and I have a feeling that what he's experiencing at WVU with Coach Vic is not uncommon in collegiate football. And I think that, you know, there needs to be a voice put to that. And you got to remember, guys, like, we're all saying this, and we're a year or less away from, you know, the new name and likeness rules coming out, and these players being able to have a bigger voice and talk to more people and have more stuff. So we don't need to sit and harp on it. We don't need to talk about it all the show, but I do think it's very important, and it's you know, it's one of those things as a West Virginia fan that I don't want to see at my university, on my team, on my favorite school, you know, if this is a problem. And if this is a problem, then Coach Vic shouldn't be there.
I think we just have to be there's a couple things. Social etiquette and being more sensitive or aware. I don't know if sensitive is the word I want. Maybe more aware of who you're saying things to, who could potentially misinterpret or, you know, have a different perception of you. I mean, I'm not saying that we should be politically correct to the point where we're just saying nothing and we're real bland, and because I think personality is important.
But Scoot, I brought up that whole retort that he got all week this week on Twitter about being soft. A lot of that was centered around the retard comment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went down through those replies, a lot of people were like, yeah, I mean, that was, you know, that was like a Tuesday for me in high school when I played ball and stuff. And I was thinking when I read that, you know what, it was for me too. And you know what that means? That means my coach was a bleephole and your coach was a bleephole. And like, we don't have to walk around and be Neanderthals. We can change that. And I think if you're someone like KJ that has a special needs person in his family, that would be incendiary. That would send me through the roof if I heard that stuff. So I can't judge him and just blow that off. Like, no, that means we need to step back and say, well, what? Why is that okay? Why have we normalized that?
Well,
kind of
thing? I think it's important to note that KJ didn't, he wasn't calling for Coach Vic to be fired. He never came out and said, you know, we need people being replaced around here.
He said he was a good guy. He said he was a good guy.
Yeah, he ended it with saying he's a good man. So
I think, and he did say a change needs to happen. Change doesn't mean somebody has to get fired and replaced. It could mean, hey, maybe these two guys sit down and they talk about their differences, or they talk about, hey, you know what? I know you probably didn't mean this, but you said X, Y, and Z, and it bothered me, or I think you may have, you know, it was a little bit cringeworthy when I heard you say it to somebody else. You didn't say it to me, but I heard you say something. I kind of cringed a little bit, like, ah, he probably shouldn't have said that. That's the kind of conversations that I think they need to have with coaching staff, with players. I mean, I don't want to say that we're a more sensitive society, because we're not. We're just more aware.
More aware, 100%. We're more.
And that'll be the thing to see how this moves forward, right? Like, is this repairable? Is this something that we can now move forward in a positive way? You know, and it'll be interesting to see what the administration decides to do.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll keep an eye on it. We'll talk about it more, I'm sure. And I think it's a very important conversation to talk
about.
Yeah,
it is, for sure.
Good for Kerry Martin Jr. I think it was important to say, and you know, as a fan, I'm proud of him for getting out and saying it. Let's move on to some other things, though, while we still have some time. We might be going to the ACC, guys. That's my new opinion.
You think someone's bringing us with them is what you think.
So I guess the ACC is looking for a new commissioner. A couple names have been floated, and three of those names are former or current WVU connections. You got Shane Lyons, who's our current AD.
Right.
His name was floated out there.
Yep.
You've got Jim Clements, who apparently is a front runner, an actual front runner for the position. He's at Clemson now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you got Oliver Luck's name's been floating.
Oliver Luck is like just perpetual candidate, right? For everything that comes up. Like,
that's kind of his deal.
He's kind of like the what is it? Is it 3M that says they don't make the things they use, they make the things you use better? That's kind of what he is, right? He tries to fix the XFL. He tries to, you know, he owns professional soccer franchises, or he's the president of them.
I think it's interesting that we can't get in the ACC, but these guys are thought of so highly to run the entire conference. So it's funny.
I'm saying next expansion, we're in, man. We need one of these guys to get hired. Next
well,
expansion,
look, as someone living in the state of North Carolina, nothing would make me happier than to join that conference. But yeah, it'll be
some other WVU related news. Giovanni Haskins, no longer a Mountaineer, by the way. He is now at Rutgers, Coach Schiano,
Scarlet
who's now back at Rutgers.
Which has 45 different branch campuses all throughout the state of New Jersey, and you never know like which one is the real Rutgers.
Which one's the real Rutgers? Right. So he's playing for Rutgers now. Kind of bums me out a little bit. I really was kind of hoping that he would take off, but maybe he didn't fit into the program or the scheme.
Yeah, I was hoping he would be the next, you know, powerful tight end that we've seen here over the last couple of years. So yeah, that's kind of a bummer.
What's interesting is, and fairly rare, he's been at three major Division I schools.
Yeah, right.
Started at Miami, came to WVU, then went to Rutgers. That's very unusual. Right. When you hear of a transfer, it doesn't often work out that they can go somewhere three different places.
But his situation there. He's a grad transfer now, right? That's considered.
I mean, he would have to be. He's got to be running out of eligibility.
So he's playing. And then also, we're continuing to become the most cultured team. WVU continues to be the most international cultured team because we now have another defensive end that we picked up from Finland, Scooty.
Yeah, I did a little research on this guy. I saw that, you know, you see the. Where they compare it to the declaration of a pope, where you start to see the smoke from the raptors.
Okay.
And I think I said raptor. I mean rafter.
Yeah,
so
I knew
you
didn't mean dinosaurs.
Yeah. So you see the smoke wafting in the air with a tweet from Neil Brown that says, "Let's go." So you know that we just got somebody to commit somewhere. Right. And so I looked him up, and he's 6'4", 6'5", 250-pound defensive end. Spent time in the Finnish military. I don't know. It's probably one of those deals. A lot of those Scandinavian countries, you have to do at least a minimum year in the military. So he's gotten his military service out of the way. And from what I've seen, it looks like he could be a real impact player at somewhere down the road.
I wanted to give credit to Gerard, but he's on the defensive side of the ball, I can't really do that.
No, I don't. And he's coming through the same pipeline, so to speak, as two of our recent signings and commits, Victor Wickstrom from Sweden, and then Jairo Favaris, who I think is actually Dutch, but he's coming to us from England. So same pipeline. Could be interesting. I don't speak those languages, but maybe we'll pick up a guy that speaks French and they need an interpreter.
Right. So it's Brandon Collier who is the, you know, kind of is doing the internet. He's kind of like the D1 international guy. He's like the guy, if you play football in Europe or somewhere like that, he's kind of like that
guru.
Guy.
He's the Scott Boris.
He's the guru.
He's the Scott Boris of foreign high school aged football players. In Europe.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting to see how he gets these. But my theory about this, guys, is that I think Coach Brown is just getting these European players to come on the team just to mess with Tony Caridi so he can't say any of them.
Yeah, well, right? I've not been.
Edouard? Is it Edward or Edouard?
I don't. I'd say Edouard.
Edouard Vesteren?
You just want to say Edouard.
Johnson, I think you may have the most European experience out of all of us. Would you agree with that? You've been overseas several times?
Yeah, I mean, with the three of us, I don't know that that's saying a whole lot. But yes.
No, it's not. No, really.
Do you?
Scooty doesn't really leave the Ohio Valley much often. So.
And during this pandemic, not at all. So
not at all.
There's that. But do you have you been out places? I've read somewhere that Country Roads is like one of the more popular songs to hear in a bar or restaurant in Europe.
I've heard it in the Netherlands, at least.
So there's a lot of belief that part of the reason why we're doing so well recruiting people is because they're very familiar with country roads.
Thank you, John Denver.
Hey.
Thank you, John.
We'll take it.
Thanks. Whatever works.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Lars or Jan Gert somewhere saying, I've heard that song. I want to go to that place. And so we get these guys who have never, you know, maybe never left their country. And because they're familiar with country roads, take me home. They just think that must be.
We have made a good impression on these folks.
That's good. Keep spinning it over there. In COVID-related news, guys, we found out today that a WVU basketball player, we don't know who, WVU basketball player has tested positive for COVID-19.
You've got a 1 in 12 chance of guessing.
Yeah, I know, really. There's not a lot of, it's definitely a player. So that's interesting. Still staying on the basketball side, I guess the best Virginia guys are doing well. I know Nathan Adrian did a couple of press things because he was not the first person to get it on the team, but Nathan Adrian did contract COVID and seems to be recovering fine. Said he felt bad over the weekend, but got better towards the end of the weekend.
From what I've heard, and I don't know a lot about this, but because I've not had it, but from what I've heard, typically days 1, 2, and 3 are the toughest, and then it somewhat subsides if you're somebody that doesn't get a severe case. I don't know. I don't want it myself to find out, but
and in the news of COVID-19 and relating to things that we hate, Pitt is apparently not being very transparent. Yeah. According to Alan
in
Saunders,
other things we hate.
We hate COVID-19. We hate Pitt, and these are the reasons why we hate Pitt. I guess Pitt's not being very transparent about if there's positive tests on their team, what they're doing to react to those positive tests. Alan Saunders. Sports writer in Pittsburgh, kind of was a little hard on them on Twitter about their lack of transparency.
Yeah, Alan Saunders is a good follow on Twitter if you're just following stuff around Pittsburgh.
Maybe it's because, I'm going to speculate, okay? I read somewhere that University of Pittsburgh has been working on a vaccine.
It is in their history, yes, to do this work.
Is it possible that they don't want to kind of say anything, make any news public because they are secretly using their athletes as guinea pigs for this vaccine?
I have a feeling that'd be extremely illegal.
Yes. I think that would be very detrimental to them, Scoot. So I'm
going
to say
they come
no.
out and tell me that that's not happening, I can't rule it out.
Okay. Well, in other news, we're just not happy that they're not being transparent and that they are Pitt in general. That was really the only reason bringing that up.
And Johnson, we got a question this weekend over Twitter. Cousin Tyler,
yeah, we did
dropped us a little NFL WVU question.
Yeah,
right?
So he said, "Hey guys, give me a quick scouting report on Yodney Cajuste. I'm a huge Pats fan." Which Guido, okay. Do we know any Pats fans? We might.
I don't know. We might know a season ticket.
He was out last year, and Cousin Tyler's right. He got, I think, a quad injury. So he was
in camp. I think it was in camp.
Yeah.
Too.
Like, so he essentially missed the whole year. Drafted in the third round, people thought he could even go higher during that draft, and so Cousin Tyler's just saying, what's the deal with this guy? What's the background on this guy?
Well, I can speak from a Patriots Nation sort of view. I think they're very hot on him. They're very, you know, I think up here a lot of people are looking for him to be, you know, a big ad for us. So adding somebody like him to help us out would be great. But I think the question kind of was that WVU fans have never we, you know, he came out. Were we ever really hot about him? I mean, I think he had a great senior season.
He did. He was offensive lineman of the year, I think, his senior season.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think a lot of times, for me, I'll be totally honest, I get him a lot confused with Quentin Spain, who was kind of I think he played the same spot as Quentin Spain did. And
I saw Quentin Spain play last year when I was in Buffalo. So
and I don't know, is it that he doesn't do anything that is super amazing and he is reliable and is just there perhaps, and that's probably why we don't talk too much about him?
Well, and that's probably the case. And that's what you really, and as an NFL team and also as a college team, it's a little different in college because in college they're there and gone after a couple of years. But as an NFL team, that's what you look for. You look for those players that are going to be reliable in and out and not necessarily always making the big plays.
But well, I'll be honest. I think Scoot, what I remember of Yodney from his junior and senior years is, and I hate to say this, but I'm just being honest, he always seemed to be good for one or two key holding penalties during a game.
Yes.
So I think from his size and athleticism, he's like, yeah, you definitely want him on your team. I think the Pats are holding out because I feel like at the time, they felt like some of their other offensive linemen might be hitting free agency, things like that, and they were going to be looking to Yodney, someone like him, to plug a hole in the line, and they felt like his size and ability, even that injury, you know, I think he even had something pre-draft that he was trying to recover from too. So
I think also this year, offensive line is going to be interesting for the Patriots because, you know, there's this guy that's going to be playing quarterback for them. I don't know if you heard.
You may have heard of him.
Cam Newton signed for the league minimum to play for Coach Belichick.
Well, you know what'll happen? I hate to burst your bubble. Here's what'll end up happening. He signs for a year. The NFL doesn't come back this year. And then you've got that doormat of a backup guy to start for you next year, whoever that guy was. I can't even remember his name.
Stidham. He played for Clemson.
Yeah, he's a nobody.
Or no, Auburn. I think he played at Auburn.
Well, and he was at Baylor before that, I think. He was talented.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Now, back to Yodney Kajust. This is a non-football evaluation. For me, I always struggled with him because I felt like he's got a lot of letters in his name that I don't know if I feel comfortable actually pronouncing them out loud or if they're silent. Like, he's got a lot of, like, is the J, should the J be silent? He's got an E at the end of that.
You
want to
call him Kajust?
Could it be Kajust? There's an E at the end. And Yodney.
So you want to put an E? Kajust?
Yodney throws me off as if there was maybe like a handwritten Rodney and they kind of didn't close the top of the R and the I don't know.
I feel like this is not the analysis Cousin Tyler was looking for.
Well,
no, I don't think so.
If anything, I would say pronunciation is going to be key this year for Yodney Kajust.
Yeah, I think so too, Scoot. We'll go with that. Well, listen, guys, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back with everybody's favorite podcast game show, Bluff the Fluffs. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Vortech Knives is a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in high-quality steel, fast-opening, everyday carry-in knives. If you go to VortechKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortech, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast-opening, high-quality, everyday carry knives. Vortech Knives.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome back to the show. Don't forget, you can find us on social media. Get us on Instagram. Get us on Twitter at Got Your Ears. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search Got Your Ears On, and you can see all of the funny things that Scoot posts on the internet. It's hilarious. Mostly
wild.
About cheese.
Oh, I love
mostly
it.
Mostly about
love cheese. Love it.
Love cheese. Doesn't know much about cows, as we learned on last week's show. Not a lot of cow knowledge.
No, there. No, not into the bovines.
Well, listen, guys, it's time for Bluff the Fluffs, everybody's favorite game show that's on a podcast about WVU sports. Last week, Johnson, you lost again.
I did.
Scooty is coming back. You still lead, Johnson, 5-3 over Scooty. But Scoot came back last week with a win about a little bit of West Virginia knowledge, which is kind of sad.
Can I tell you?
Well,
not
really.
I have spent all week angry at myself that I didn't get Shepherdstown was the oldest town in the state. I'm still angry about that.
He's so upset that he's actually brought help. He's got family in to help him for this week.
I'm just saying, Johnson, it's kind of sad as the person that grew up in the state closest to West Virginia that you didn't get any of those questions right.
Shepherd, you know, sounds right in the backyard of your birthplace.
I mean, being from Winchester, Virginia, you should know a lot about West Virginia.
That's just patently false.
Oh. I mean, at least you're not from New York's Frying Pan.
Was your first trip to the Apple Mall there in Winchester, is that where you went on your first trip after leaving the hospital?
I'm very familiar with the Apple Blossom Mall, yes.
Spent a lot of time there
because it was close to the place in West Virginia where I spent all my time.
Did you go to Stephen City shortly thereafter birth?
I know of it. Guido, feel free anytime to
all
start
right, this
all
game.
Right.
Break it up, boys. Break it up. Break it up. All right, here we go. So this week, guys, you know, because of my excitement that West Virginia has a chance of going to the ACC, we're doing a Bluff the Fluffs all about the ACC.
Oh, my God. So everyone just turned their podcast off.
We have to get our knowledge, you know, so we're ready when we're members of the ACC.
Ready for it.
Yeah, we got to be ready for it, right? So that's what this week's Bluff the Fluffs about. As usual, everything is multiple choice because I don't want you guys to hurt your brains too much. So you just have to pick one of the choices that I give you. And as always, before we started today's game, we had a complete and total random flip of the coin. And Scooty, you won. You get to come on first. You get the first question this week.
Wow. This is amazing. I can't believe I won the coin toss. Do I need more energy?
Excited.
More energy with that?
Man. So, anyway. Jeez, dude. Scoot, first question is to you, Scooty. What team became the 12th member of the ACC in 2005? Was it Boston College, Virginia Tech, Miami, or South Carolina?
Oh, you threw me for a loop there. You threw me for a little bit of a loop. 2005. I am going to say Boston College.
That's correct. The correct answer is Boston College. You remember the defection, as we sometimes call it, from the Big East. And you had a bunch of those teams that decided to leave us, and Boston College became the 12th member of the ACC. Johnson, Scooty takes a lead on you 5-0, but this question is to you. Which one of the following schools was not a charter member of the ACC? Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, South Carolina, or Clemson? Which one was not a charter member of the ACC?
Huh, this is tough. Because generally, because of my hatred of the ACC, I tend to not learn a whole lot about them. So
I know. That's the whole idea behind this week. We got to get our knowledge.
I'm going to go with South Carolina.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Scooty, back to you. Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, or Clemson?
That's tricky. I'm going to go Georgia Tech.
Oh, Scooty with the steal and 10 points to take another commanding lead, 15-0. Yes, Georgia Tech was not a charter member, Johnson. You need to learn this stuff. If we're going to become ACC fans, you got to learn it.
That's right. Tobacco Road. Come on.
Come on. Come on, man.
I feel like this is never going to come in handy, but okay.
I'm trying to be positive. In 2002, Scooty, all but two ACC schools went to bowl games. Which of these two did not? All right. And you got four options here. Was it Duke and Maryland, Duke and North Carolina, North Carolina State and Duke, or Georgia Tech and Duke?
So what you're saying is Duke sucks at football.
Yes. 2002.
I am going to go with Duke and North Carolina.
That's correct. In 2002, Duke and Northern the Tar Heels did not go to
the Fridge. The Fridge always got to. He got to some bowls back in 2002. Is David Cutcliffe the coach of Duke? I believe he is.
I think he still is, yeah.
Are you impressed with my Duke knowledge?
That's pretty – it's good Duke knowledge for being football on the football side. Yeah, Nobody knows anything about Duke's football.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
All right, here you go. Who has won more NCAA men's basketball championships, Duke or North Carolina?
I'm going to go with the Tar Heels.
That's correct. North Carolina has won 6. Duke has won 5.
You needed that because the steal would have buried you.
The steal would have.
Had I gotten the steal, you would have been buried.
Well, you're so lucky on your guesses so far. Like, I got a
3-3, baby. 3-3.
Your guesses are so on.
Hey, at least you're not getting shut out this week, Johnson. Scooty's up 20-5 right now. And we're back to Scoot. Scooty, which of the following athletes did not play for an ACC team? Okay. Here you go. I'll even tell you their sport, too, just in case you didn't know. Arnold Palmer with golf, Michael Jordan with basketball, Johnny Unitas with football, and Nomar Garciaparra with baseball. Which one did not play for an ACC team?
That's tough.
He's stumped, folks.
I've got it narrowed down to two people, right. I think.
You got it down to two. All right.
I'm going to say Noma Garcia Parra.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Nomar Garcia Parra was on Georgia Tech's 1994 College World Series team. Johnson, Arnold Palmer, Michael Jordan, Johnny Unitas. Which one did not play for an ACC?
Well, I was actually going to go with Scoot. So, obviously, Jordan was at UNC. Unitas played at Louisville, who I'm assuming you're counting in the ACC. So, then I'm going with Arnold Palmer.
That's incorrect. Arnold Palmer played golf for Wake Forest in the ACC. Johnny Unitas did play for Louisville, but he played when they were independents. So
that's a trick question.
Hey, it's a great question.
They're in the ACC right now.
It's a great question.
Yeah, but they weren't in 1951.
Well, you didn't say that.
The validity to that is solid.
See? Sorry, Johnson.
No, I got screwed there.
How about my Boston pronunciation of Noma Garcia Parra?
Noma. That's Noma.
Noma Garcia Parra.
Johnson, last question before Final Bluff is to you. What team has the most ACC football championships? Florida State, Maryland, Clemson, or Virginia Tech?
Say those choices again. The answer in my head didn't come up in your choices, so now I don't know.
Florida State, Maryland, Clemson, or Virginia Tech?
Well, even though their history doesn't date back as far, I'm still going to go with Florida State.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Scooty, for the steal, 10 points and the steal.
I'm going to go with Clemson.
That's correct. Clemson has 19 victories in their history for the ACC. Johnson,
get out the shovel. Get out the shovel because I'm burying it.
Well, I mean, I got cheated on one question. So.
Scooty's up by 25 points as we go into the 25-point question for Final Bluff. Scooty's leading 30-5. As always, we let you guys pick buzzers for the Final Bluff. And because Scooty won the coin toss, Johnson, you get to go first. What's your buzzer this week, Johnson?
Unitas.
Unitas. He's like out of protest. He's doing getting into Unitas. All right. And Scooty, what's your buzzer?
Ramps.
He's sticking with the Rams. Johnson, I even gave you a chance to take it back. I can't believe you didn't. It's proven. It's a proven winner. So here we go, guys. Final question for Final Bluffs. Get your buzzers ready. All right. How many former WVU football head coaches have been a head coach at a school that either were or are now in the ACC? How many? All right, how many coaches?
Unitas.
Well, I haven't even given you the numbers yet. You can't put your buzzer in yet. All right, is it 1, 5, 7, or 3?
Unitas.
All right, Johnson is angry this week. We got an angry Johnson. Okay, Johnson, how many former WVU football head coaches have either at one time or another been a head coach for a team that has either been in the ACC or is currently in the ACC? 1, 5, 7, or 3?
I think the answer is 3.
Scooty, for the win. Well, you've got the win. You just got to.
We're going to go with 1, Guido.
That's very bad. I mean, I can name you. You should be able to at least name one, but that's incorrect. Johnson, back to you. You can still get 25 points. Johnson, you can tie it up. It's either 5 or 7.
Yeah, then I'm going to have to go with 5.
I'm sorry, Scooty, with the right answer.
I'm going to have to go with 7.
That's correct, 7. Boom. There have been 7.
Boom. 4th of July, early fireworks. Ba-da-ba-bow, ba-da-ba-bow.
Well, who were they?
All right, you ready? All right, so you can name, I know you can get 1, Bobby Bowden. That's kind of obvious.
Yeah, Rich,
right?
Rod.
Not a head coach.
No, Rich Rod did not coach. He did not. He was not a head coach.
Oh, he was a coordinator. Was Ben Schwartzwalder, he was never a coach at WVU,
no,
right?
He wasn't a coach at WVU. You ready? So here you go. Some of these you're not even going to know, guys. So you ready? Bobby Bowden, obviously. Thomas Trenchard, he coached WVU in 1896 and then went on to coach North Carolina in 1914 and 1917. There you go. Edwin Sweetland was WVU's head coach and athletic director in 1913.
Oh, yeah, old Sweetland.
He coached at Syracuse from 1900 to 1902. Saul Metzer, one of Scoot's favorite head coaches at WVU. Saul Metzer was a head coach for WVU and South Carolina. Clarence Spears, he was at WVU from 1921 to 1924.
Coach Spears, sure.
Coach Spears also coached at Maryland in the 40s, from 43 to 44. Jim Carlin coached at WVU from 66 to 69 and at South Carolina from 75 to 81. But here's my favorite, guys, because probably my favorite, one of my favorite WVU coaches of all time, Greasy Neal.
Oh, yeah.
Greasy Neal coached at WVU from 1931 to 1933. He coached at Virginia from 1923 to 1929. He also, Scooty,
is a West Virginia Wesleyan alum.
Boom!
He is a West Virginia Wesleyan alum and was the head coach there from 1916 to 1917. So, all, like, Scooty and I are also undergrads from West Virginia Wesleyan, so there you go. But, guys, I hate to say it, Scooty is coming back 4-5. Boom. Johnson, you have a slim, slim lead.
Got him on the ropes.
Look at this.
He's on
look
the
at
ropes.
My face. Look at my face.
On the ropes.
He's not worried.
Not
He's
concerned. Not worried. Look at my face, Scoot.
Like a speed bag.
My lead was so big, you could win next week and still not be leading. That's how big my lead was.
Speed
right.
bag.
Scoot's on a 3-week winning streak right now, and we'll see what happens next week. So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with everybody's favorite news segment on Got Your Ears. I can't believe my ears. Right here on Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives, and when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome back. Guido along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check out our website, GotYourEarsOn.com. It's kind of the hub of everything about us, right, Johnson?
Yeah, it is the hub. So we, you know, we try to update it after each show with all the links to the stuff we talk about. So if you hit on, if you're listening and you're like, no, they're making that up, well, you can just go right to the blog post, click on the links.
We do make some of it up. I mean, let's be honest.
And then read more about it. So you can find all that there. You can find our subscriptions page where you can see all the links to all of our social media platforms. And then you can listen right onto the website, right on the website with the link to the latest show. So check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. GotYourEarsOn.com. All right, Scooty, it's time for I Can't Believe My Ears.
Okay, fellas. Well, we've talked about this guy in the past. So it's kind of we're bringing him back up. His name is David Rush, and he is from Idaho.
Okay.
It's not ringing
we've talked
a bell,
about this guy
Scoot.
In the past.
Okay, we've talked about this guy. This is the guy that has gone on to set some Guinness Book of World Records here lately. And
okay.
He is
all
currently
right.
in the process of setting, I believe he's got 150 Guinness Book of World Records.
Wait. Is this the planks guy? Is this the planking guy?
This is
guy?
Not the planking guy.
Oh, okay.
Different guy.
All right.
That
sorry.
Guy was amazing with 8 minutes or 8 hours or whatever. On the yeah.
8 hours of a plank.
Oh, my God.
Which is roughly 7 hours, 59 minutes, and 30 seconds
longer than I can
plank.
This record that he most recently set is one that I feel we could possibly contest.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it like you and Josh Witt and 150 cheese curds, fried
well,
cheese curds?
Listen, Josh Witt don't want this smoke right now. I'll tell you right now. He does not want this. But this guy is amassed more than 150 Guinness Book of World Records by the age of 35. And most recently, he broke the world record for most wet sponges to the face.
Oh, we need to do this.
I can
guarantee you. Is there a time
a
limit?
Minute.
Does he have to do
you have
so
a
many
minute.
So much time? You have a minute.
96 sponges made contact with his face.
Oh my God, that's like 3 per minute or
the
something.
The official
like, what
rule,
is that?
Though, I believe he was officially ruled with 92 hits to the face from a wet sponge. Was the official record.
Oh my God.
His previous record was, or the previous record, I don't know if he said it or not, but was 76.
Who's
now what's more important?
Who comes up
the
with
guy
this?
That's receiving the sponge or the guy throwing the sponge?
Well, that's a good question, Scoot, because as much as you know, you get the glory as the world record holder for having your head in your face. The guy who throws the sponge, he's the one who does all the hard work.
This is kind of like... What if they load the sponges into like a pitching-type machine, and then it's more like that scene from Happy Gilmore where he's just like standing in front of it and just like thwop, 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 thwop.
I think this is kind of like, in a way, kind of like the home run derby, right? It matters who your batting practice pitcher is.
Yeah, you're right.
Scoot, who you picking?
Well, that's a good question.
Picking,
so like that, like in a lot of those situations, so those guys bring their dads. Do you want your dad to throw a ball, like throw a wet sponge at your face? I don't think I do.
So who likes to throw objects at your face?
I'd have to go with my wife. I think my wife would have the best aim. She's got the most practice. Her arm is loose. It's ready. It's ready to go. You know, you hear about pitchers, you know, going into their winter workouts for spring training. No, she's good, man. Like, she's ready.
And Scooch, she has no sympathy if you say anything hurts or if there's any pain involved. Like, she's going to be consistent.
In a situation like this, she's not even paying attention to my emotions. She's just throwing. Like, this is just simple task for her. Like, she's just in the zone. Hit the zone. Hit the zone. Like, she's, she would have to be my pick.
Oh, I thought I should be your pick. I mean, you know, former high school catcher.
I mean,
you know, got a pretty decent arm. You know,
I think if we're like going with experience,
I would enjoy throwing things at you. I would be willing to give up the glory of the Guinness Book of World Records in order to throw sponges at your face.
Now, here's the question: should the thrower be listed as well? I think they should.
I think they should. That's a team. That's a team effort, right?
Too. Yeah, they play a huge part.
92 sponges, wet sponges to the face.
Do you think there's just one person throwing that? There's got to be multiple.
I think it's just one person. Because I believe I read.
That's impossible. 92 sponges in a minute is impossible. Nobody can throw 92 sponges in
a
minute.
He had a friend.
Think about it.
I'm trying to find his first name. His.
That's more than. That's like 2.5 sponges per second.
Come on.
That's a. Pull out the spreadsheet, Johnson. Yes. That's impossible.
And I said minute earlier. I meant Jonathan Hannon. So,
his neighbor. His neighbor was the guy that helped him. Can you imagine being the neighbor of this guy? Like, oh, Johnny next door going for another record. I got to go throw wet sponges at him.
What's he want? Like a cup of sugar? No, he wants me to hit him in the face with as many sponges as I can in a minute.
So yeah, can I borrow your shovel? No, he wants me to throw me some wet sponges. That's what he wants.
Do they train for it like on Saturday? Like, hey, let's get have a couple of beers and throw some wet sponges at me.
So Jonathan Hannon, who is his neighbor. Through now, here's should we be more concerned that he was off target on 10 of his throws because he threw 106 sponges and only 96 of them made
contact?
Well,
I'm thinking in the fray, water splashing, like, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's gonna happen, right? I mean,
what kind of sponges are these?
From what I saw of the little video clip, they appear to be those smaller, I don't know, I'm gonna say. Maybe 4-inch long by 4x3, something 5x3 size, index card size.
I hope they're not the ones that have like the abrasive scratchy stuff on the back.
I think they are the dark green on one side and the yellow on the other. Yes.
Ooh, that'd be rough.
Yeah. Yeah,
that'd be rough. Was he wearing goggles?
I think he did have goggles.
I cannot wait to post this video clip on the site. That's perfect.
I think, Scoot, you've got, you know, it's a holiday week. You've got this week off of work.
Yeah, I mean.
I think that you need to
I think it's all lining up, Scoot.
Your wife and your children. We just need to see a test video. Just a practice video of, like, a sponge getting
just
thrown.
Just a run-through.
We can get that
I think that
lined
needs
up.
To happen this week. We'll put it up on the Got Your Ears Facebook page.
We'll
and
see
on,
who threw it
on
better.
The Twitters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to see. Dubs or the see Jonathan Cannon, the neighbor.
I feel like I'm with you, Scoot. I feel like Dubs would definitely.
Oh my god! Like this was like this would be like a dream come true.
Yeah.
Like
that's.
And I mean, I know she's not around right now, but I can almost guarantee you, if you bring this up to her, she'll be more than willing.
1,000%. She's ready. She's ready to go now. Like, right there's no now. Call to the bullpen. She's already been warming up. Like she's ready to go.
Oh man, that'll be a good one. We'll have to see what happens.
Sponge
there.
To the face.
Well, listen, guys. We should probably wrap it up for this week. Thanks for everybody for listening. Don't forget to go online on the social media, like and subscribe. And also tell your friends to like and subscribe. And then tell them to tell their friends to like and subscribe.
It's a chain of events, yes.
It's a chain, yeah, right. It's like one of those chain letters.
Pay it forward.
Pay it forward, folks. Thanks for listening, everybody. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at Got Your Ears. You can also find us on Facebook, Got Your Ears On. And check out our website, gotyourearson.com. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. Everybody have a good week. Have a happy 4th of July. This has been Got Your Ears On.